This program is paid for by Ion Prescott, LLC, and we are solely responsible for the contents of this show.
Ladies and gentlemen of Prescott, it's time for a change. We, the people of this vibrant community, demand honest, upfront communication. No more beating around the bush or serving up half-baked solutions. We're here to shake things up, challenge the norms, and deliver unfiltered information with a healthy dose of irreverence and boundless curiosity. Our mission? To be your voice, to bring you all sides of the story, and yes, to inject a bit of humor into the mix. We're passionate about the quality of life in Prescott, and we know you are too. Join us as we embark on a journey to keep it real, keep it informative, and most importantly, keep it engaging. Welcome to our platform, where transparency meets a touch of wit. And now your hosts, Tony Hamer and Chad DeVries.
I think City Council has a very clear job to do. You know, the most recent thing which has come along in terms of what's happening is that the Arizona Eco Development LLC, which owns a couple of major parcels of land up in the north country of Prescott, which are actually being annexed into Prescott.
Right.
And, you know, there's a couple of major issues with the contracts there where AED, as I'll call them, expected the city to do various things, including ingress and egress, including water service, including sewerage treatment for these parcels of land, and it just hasn't happened.
Yeah, I was. I'm actually shocked by that lawsuit. We just got that five-page document, and it's pretty serious for our city. I mean, $150 million is a lot of money for breach of contract. I sell real estate. Breach of contract is a very serious issue. And when you agree to something, you need to do it.
Yep, absolutely. $150 million, which would then need to be spread amongst the taxpayers in Prescott. So we're talking very much about Prescott on this deal, but the city council has to come up with an approach on this, because from what I read on the contract we saw, they have not pursued diligently in terms of what their obligations were under the contract. That's the way I read it. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but it's relatively clear to me.
Well, we have that document. We'll be posting on our Facebook, Ion Prescott. So if anybody wants to see that document, it's somewhere about five pages. And it really paints the picture of what's happening and what didn't happen. And, you know, it's really sad for our city because we have so much liability in that. You know, and if we have to bankrupt our city, it just puts us at a terrible spot, or if the citizens have to end up coughing up for it. I used an example the other day. I was talking to someone. If we, you know, say we have 30,000 residents or homes, and, you know, that's about $5,000 a home.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of money for everybody, and I hope we don't get that far.
Me too.
I hope we can do some sort of mediation in terms of the parties here, but really, the city council has to step up to their responsibility here and make it good for the citizens, because this
right.
is not good. I guess I used good a couple of times there, didn't I?
Was that with an E on the end?
Could well
or
have
goody?
Been. Could well
I don't know.
Been. But, you know, when you look at this sort of thing, which is a huge and very tangible liability for the city, you know, you have to wonder what the priorities of city council are today and what they're going to do in terms of their priority list as they move forward here. For example, excellence in fire, police, ambulance service, and the necessary fire stations, for example, which need to be built in our community, especially in the north of this community.
Well, Tony, for $150 million, we could have not only had plenty of fire stations, police stations, ambulance service, more police officers, and the list goes on for $150 million that we may face as a city.
Yeah.
Liability.
Yeah. And always in these circumstances, and I've done a little bit of reading on bankrupting cities and what it means. It means that your budget shrinks
right.
in terms of those things which are outside of the claims, and hence our services will get worse, and that's what citizens have to look forward to. So very, very tragic circumstance, this.
Right, and then, you know, we also talked about, you know, 100-year water plan. That's another job that they need to get done. We're going into the, you know, the road network. I mean, we talked about that in our last episode with Vinny Gallegos, Mike Fan, you know, Ted Gamboge from City Council, and you know, these are safety issues. These are what people are concerned about.
You know, it is, and I think I'm looking forward to the general plan, which is supposed to be issued in 2025. But it seems a long way off in terms of giving us guidance on these major items as to where council should be spending their time and where council should be spending our tax dollars. And maybe as a result of this AED suit, we don't have a lot of flexibility in terms of where we spend things at this point.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. You know, for us, I think... we spoke about it in the last episode, and it was about a first-class network of roads and transportation systems here in town. I hope that doesn't get let off in terms of the priority that it needs, because otherwise we're going to become very constipated in terms of moving people around this area.
Now, that doesn't sound like fun, Tony. I think you could take something for that.
You probably can, but I'm not sure we can in terms of the road situation because you're talking 10-year cycles to get new roads in. And that's an astonishing number, but that's what the process calls for at this point.
Yeah.
So the other piece which is coming forward, of course, is the airport. The airport, we've had outstanding plans for the airport,
right.
And I mean outstanding both in a timely fashion as well as in a quality fashion as well. These plans for the airport, though, seem to get pushed on one side, not implemented, and that's a really important piece for us all, is the airport, and as to what extent it's going to be an economic driver for the community.
Yeah, the airport continues to be an issue. An issue that the leaders need to come together on, but the public, you know, which we talked about even on the campaign trail, it's not one of their high priorities either, you know.
It's really not. It is for the people who are close to the airport, but as a general population, that is correct. Recently, we have been informed of information which... revealed lots of conversations between what's happening in the airport with the airport director of that time, with members of City Council. And quite honestly, I was dismayed at the behaviors of those people. And that's documents which have been leaked out. It's a leaky colander in terms of City Hall. These pieces of information become readily available.
Yeah, it's very sad, the behavior of certain people in the council. I mean, it really is. And, you know, the employees, too, are scared. The employees in this town are scared for their jobs, and they can't speak out.
Yeah, that's not a desirable situation in any enterprise overall. And when you see people cowering in fear, that is not good. It needs to be addressed as a priority for council.
Well, like we keep talking about transparency. Where's the transparency? You know, with the executive sessions, with all the stuff that's gone on, you know, I mean, people want transparency. This is our money. This is our city. They are elected leaders. They're supposed to listen to the public, not just 20 people in the chambers.
Yeah, you make a very good point there, you know, transparency. What would you do if you were in the city right now? What moves would you take to be more transparent to the public?
Well, like what we're doing right now, getting out to the public, what's really happening in our city. not having executive sessions, meetings, 50, 51 last year, where we don't know what's going on, what's going on with, you know, everything with our, you know, not only the recent city manager leaving, but the previous city manager leaving, and, you know, the other top employees that have been here that just decided to move on because of what's happening. You know, transparency is everything. You know, we've tried to get Phil on our show, and I, you know, like I told you, I was joking with you the other day. I said maybe we could have an executive session on our show, then Phil would come and talk to us.
I think that's a neat way of looking at this whole thing. But, you know, to me, the city council has to take a strong position and prioritize their time, prioritize our money, and get going on these things. Because otherwise we're going to find ourselves behind the eight ball. And I know in our interviews in the streets that we'll go and do, people will say exactly the same thing.
Well, it just seems like every time something comes up at city council, like the cell tower we talked about on our last show, get turned down 6-1. You know, they're arguing about the stoplight over by the rodeo grounds, which will be paid by the federal government, and we'll need it in the future. And why not let the federal government pay for it instead of going back to their coffers, and then city of Prescott will have to pay for it in the future? We had rodeo money. Well, now that's gone.
What happened there? Can you talk a little bit more about that from your perspective?
Well, a couple citizens complained and filed lawsuits, and then with the city, you know, Mayor Good was not behind it, and I was not at his recent address to the city for 2024.
State of the city. 23,
and,
yeah.
But, you know, he said, oh, maybe next time around we can get it for the city. Well, that wasn't what the money was for. I mean, they couldn't have put in for that for what he was talking about. So, you know, we've lost that. We're fighting over the 89 out there through the Dells for, you know, safety. We're arguing about the Sundog connector. Every time we turn around, it's just like, no, 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 we don't want it. We don't want it. But they're not really working for us or the citizens of this community.
No, I think that is right. And, you know, there's some interesting things happening with other municipalities in the country.
Right.
Where instead of listening to the 20 or 30 or even 100 people in city council chambers, they're actually polling citizens before they get into discussing these subjects. So they know where the sense of the crowd is. They know the sense of the electorate.
Well, you know that they had sent out a poll end of last year to 3,500 residents, and I don't know about you. I don't know where they got their mailing list, but I don't know one person in this city that got one.
And we don't know the results of that yet, do we?
No, because it was probably in an executive session.
Oh, right, right. That's where we don't allow anything out to the public, even though they're the ones funding that.
Absolutely.
Oh, really good approach. Good approach. Let me just hit one last one. You know, we are so dependent on tourism here in Prescott, and it's often to the exclusion of our citizens as well. And we don't seem to have a thriving economic development pipeline of companies that want to come here, that we're bringing along, we're helping them transition into Prescott. It just doesn't seem to exist. What's the last company we brought into Prescott?
Well, I think that last one was that Israeli company. I think they're already gone.
Yep, they are.
I think they were doing something with a
electric planes.
Electric planes.
And the company's name was Eviation. Eviation.
Yeah.
And they disappeared very quickly. They had a very bad accident with one of their prototypes.
Right.
And therefore, I think they drew their horns in and their expenditures in, and Prescott became a liability for them, so they withdrew from here. We never heard about that in terms of a final position. Maybe I missed it. Maybe it was out there somewhere, but I don't think so.
Well, there's a lot of things that you can't find out there, Tony. So it's like I don't have enough time in the day to research everything. But, you know, they focus on tourism here, not economic development. They need a plan. You know, there's so much space out by the airport to bring in, you know, businesses, technology businesses. We need, you know, the young people graduating from one of the best schools, Embry-Riddle, and you got Yavapai College, and, you know, they have to leave here because they have nowhere to work. I mean, they're not in the tourist industry when they get their degrees. And I think as a city, and other cities do it, I mean, look at down in Phoenix right now. I mean, I think, you know, look at the businesses that are being brought in to help flourish the city.
Well, I'm not sure we want that semiconductor building,
well, not
which
that
is
one.
Going
that would,
up the north that, of Phoenix.
That would take
we?
Up our whole town. Yeah, that one's that one's kind of ridiculous.
No, but we do need jobs. We need technologically oriented jobs within our community and to grow businesses here as well.
And we are not out there reaching out to those companies. They expect those companies to call Prescott, and they're not doing that. You know, I deal with a lot of big money people because I'm in that business, and they would love to come here, but they don't even know, you know, what to do, where to go, who to talk to, because we're just not pushing that. You know, if you're into the tourist business, no problem. But yep. Economic development, growth like that, no.
No, and that's really a tragic piece in terms of where we are. Well, Chad, you know, we've laid out here an agenda for the council that, you know, hopefully they're going to listen to. We can bring it forward in council chambers as well. I know you and I are both going to the AED meeting on Tuesday, and we'll report back on some of the output of that in terms of this broadcast as well.
Yeah, that's pretty significant. That's why we said we wanted to do this show, because that is a big issue for facing our city right now. That lawsuit is like beyond. I mean, when that came out the other day, I was just in awe when I read that, just the five pages, and I'm like, the breach of a contract like that. I sell real estate, and it, to me, and I'm not a lawyer, it looks pretty ironclad to me. And for the city not to embrace or do things that they were supposed to do and just leave it like crickets.
Well, I'm sure there's some mitigating circumstances out there which will be brought forward by the city. Chad, for this next part of the show, we've got an interview with Stan Goligoski. It's great to have Stan on the show. Now, we've received a little criticism for having Stan on a second time. However, in our defense, what I'm going to say is we've have an open invitation to Mayor Good to come on the show and present his side of the story. However, Mayor Good has elected not to take us up on that yet. It'd be nice if he supported a brand new business in town. This is part of Prescott's economic development, after all.
Well, I think we want to hear his side, you know, that we want full transparency, and that's why we're doing this show. And, you know, we're not taking sides either way. We're just providing the public with the information and what we have.
But we hope to have him on here. We'll certainly send him another reel so he can understand what we're doing. So we've just come from City Council, and we've heard the discussions on the AED claim on the city for $150 million. How do you react to that? Maybe you have some background to share as well.
Yeah, I do. So just to be very transparent, a few months ago, I found out about the claim, or that there was potentially going to be a claim, and we were hearing that it was going to be a large dollar amount. So about a month or so ago, I met with Jason Giese and Joe Trudeau. If you don't know Joe Trudeau, he was really the lead in the Save the Dells movement. So right. It was good for us to both be in the same room, understand what was about to occur. And Joe knew specifically what was in that development agreement because he worked on it for I think, several years, honestly.
3 years, I believe, yeah.
So knew the ins and outs of it. But he since stepped away after the city council voted to agree upon the development agreement 2 years ago.
Which was a unanimous 7-0 vote.
Well, and it wasn't Kathy Rusing on the city council and Bill Good at the time?
They were both on city council.
That is correct. Absolutely. Greg Mangarelli was the mayor at the time, worked through the agreement, and they all worked through the agreement, from what I understand, together. Regardless, the development agreement was agreed upon. In that, the Arizona Eco Development agreed to deed over the 474 acres in the Dells, which is a huge accomplishment. It's great, you know.
Yep, really
but
was.
There was provisions in there that stated that the city had to work with the state land department in order to grant an easement into Section 33 of the development. And this does mean going under Highway 89A into this Section 33. But if you look in the development agreement, in the agreement it states that if the city did this within a year, then Arizona Eco Development would pay for the cost of the utilities.
Right.
And I know today there was a comment made on city council that said if they wanted the utilities so bad, they should pay for it themselves. So the issue is the city did not deliver on their end of the agreement within
in
the year.
In two or three areas as well.
Right. In that one in particular, yeah. Right? So if they did not, in the agreement, it's stated that if they did not perform in that year, then it would fall on the city or the taxpayers to pay for the cost of the utilities and all the engineering within it, too, for those utilities. So we already missed one provision. We already missed that gate that then falls on the taxpayers. So bigger picture, if you want to look at this, we currently have a city council that is paying for land, and we know that it's not within the budget. That was confirmed today even through the finance director, that there is not available funds. So there would be another settlement with another developer that's more than the Chamberlain deal. So just be prepared for that. And I think they've kind of talked about those numbers here on city council. So, but I've heard it here floated at different figures. Anyway, and then I know that they're
waiting. What's the sort of range of figures there, Stan? Do you recall?
What I understand is a $10 million ask, or just around that number. So if you look at this, we have a fiduciary obligation in the city to that was not adhered to first with getting utilities into Section 33. And quite frankly, AED, their biggest piece was you're spending money you don't have, and there's already an obligation out here that you agreed upon 2 years ago. So their biggest issue is we know for a fact, and the paper even confirmed this, there's already been meetings on the AED and the development agreement. So this is not new to our council. That this is not a surprise that this claim of $150 million comes out, because the developer, quite frankly, just has not received any confirmation that the work is being done. Even in the claim, it states they don't even believe a schematic or a drawing has even been drawn.
Right.
So if you look at the claim, it's a claim about the city not acting in good faith and failure to perform.
Well, I thought it was interesting today, too, when Mayor Good and then Kathy Rusing were like, you know, who would sign an agreement like this, you know, and they were on city council at the time, and they approved it.
A little refresher course, right?
Yeah. I know. Tony actually found was it a YouTube video that you had saved? You couldn't find it online anymore, but he had it saved where on that development meeting back in 2021.
I did look up the 2021 meeting, the voting meeting of the council, on July the 13th, 2021. And there were some really ripe comments, and we'll probably get one or two of them into the show here. But Kathy Rusing, thank you to all the brave people who started Save the Dells. I've got to go along with that.
Absolutely.
Come together and have a grand bargain. And so she was praising the deal which had been put together in the development agreement. Phil thanked also the STDs in the same language.
Sure.
He said the agreement has many flaws and areas which are not properly addressed. Okay. But it's a pretty good agreement to go forward with. Future councils will have to make sure that these commitments are properly kept. Commitment to closely monitor its adoption needs to be made, and the clauses are those which need to be adhered to over time. Now, that's all from Phil. And the last one was, the development clauses are held accountable to the developers.
Hmm.
So here was Phil, July 13th,
yep,
putting together those sorts of comments.
Yeah.
Yet today what we've seen is
that, well, different story.
A totally different story, and obviously we in the city have done everything properly, but AED isn't fulfilling their commitments.
It works both ways, doesn't it?
It sure does.
You can see that, you know, from my perspective, he was making comments basically stating that the developer must adhere to the development.
Yeah.
But there was, yep, it does work both ways. And yes, and the failure to recognize that has been the downfall of our city council. And honestly, we should be up in arms the fact that we have a $150 million claim against us, and how are we going to pay for it? Where does it come from?
Well, I think that's the thing that's come across our desk, and we've been looking at, and I've been looking in terms of other examples of cities that have gone through a major liability like this, and it's not pretty.
No.
It's going to be a 10-year earnout in terms of that thing, and it's going to take away from police, fire,
absolutely,
ambulance services, because that's the biggest part of our budget. So we saw the council and their attorney fighting defensively against the offense which AED had put in. So that was interesting to see that there were probably faults on both sides, but everybody agreed at the end of the council meeting that it wasn't a very good agreement that they'd all signed up to and voted 7-0 to approve.
Yeah, and it just seems like there's just a lot of wasted time on this. And, you know, knowing that the city would face some kind of lawsuit like this and just let it go on the wayside, I mean, it just seemed like that, you know, they didn't want it and they didn't care about it, and it's been under the mayor's watch over the last 2 years.
Yeah, very clearly. And, you know, the transparency of the discussion today was good. You know, at least we got it above boards in terms of having the discussion on the issue. But there was only a very small attendance at the city council meeting. And that was disappointing, I thought. Now for something totally different. Next week's show, we're going to put together something on some new businesses which have started up in town, and they're in the food and beverage area, the restaurant area, basically. And we're going to do some interviews with the owners of them and how they got into business as part of their development in town here. So pretty excited about that, a little bit different from where we've been.
I think it's time to take a little break and talk about food and drinks. And you know, but the thing is about a lot of these restaurants that are coming into town, there is a ton of red tape for them to get started. I know one of the restaurants we're going to be talking to, it took them several months to get through the city and things like that. So, you know, we'll be talking about, you know, things like that. I also want to, we're also going to meet with one of the youngest entrepreneurs in town. She graduated high school, 18 years old. 2 days later, she bought a business downtown, a vintage candy store, and she's become very successful with it and being 18 years old. And it's just great to see that, the younger generation wants to get into business and, you know, do something, you know, besides, you know, just going to college or whatever. That'll be
a
great interview.
She's a very nice young lady and she's got a nice little business there. Something completely different.
You've been listening to Eye on Prescott. We adore living here, and we want to be your voice to ask the tough questions, hold officials accountable, and you'll never hear us running from a debate. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon on Eye on Prescott.
Email us at info@ionprescott.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you are interested in advertising or sponsoring our show, please contact us. This program is paid for by Ion Prescott, LLC, and we are solely responsible for the contents of this show.